The Education Department holds personal data on nearly half the people in the United States. House Oversight and Government Reform Chairman Jason Chaffetz says the department's databases are vulnerable and could lead to the biggest cyber breach ever. Federal News Radio Scott Massioni has more of what's going on with the Education Department.
You know the saying, everyone and their mother? Well, the Department of Education pretty much has the Social Security number of everyone and their mother. That's because when you apply for a student loan, the Department of Education not only asks you for your financial information, but in most cases, asks for your parents' information as well. That's how the department ended up with about 139 million Social Security numbers. And that's something that has House Oversight and Government Reform Chairman Jason Chaffetz worried. Here's Chaffetz speaking on the topic at the Brookings Institute.
As you relate to the OPM data breach, one of the largest data breaches we've ever had, 20-something million people whose information is out there and has been stolen. The Inspector General, I think it was 7 years running, had come up and highlighted this. At one point, they actually said, unplug it, it's so vulnerable. And we have that same thing happening right now at the Department of Education. That, to me, the story that hasn't been written is about what's happening at the Department of Education. Because if you apply for a student loan, you are sending this information not only about yourself, but about mom, about dad, and all the investments, all the account numbers, all the assets that you have. They have how many of these records? Almost half of America's records are sitting at the Department of Education. I think ultimately that's going to be the largest data breach that we've ever seen in the history of our nation.
Part of the problem, Chaffetz says, is how the Department of Education is holding its information. The department uses 184 different information systems. It also has 120 different contractors holding student information. That's 120 different access points for hackers to get into. That's also 120 different places to make sure are up to cybersecurity standards. However, Chaffetz says the Department of Education isn't doing a good enough job at protecting this information. Here's Chaffetz during a November hearing on education IT.
This is also an organization, based on their self-assessment, gets an overall F grade as it relates to IT. So we can look at data center consolidation, IT portfolio review savings, incremental development, and risk assessment transparency, earning it an F. This is a system that are not necessarily all the systems are utilizing encryption. OMB is engaged in this cyber sprint. It is one of, I believe, only four agencies in all of federal government where they scored a negative 14% in that group, but one of four institutions where it actually scored negative on things or assessment of, say, dual authentication. In fact, the Inspector General went in and looked at the Department of Education's IT operations, and the report finds, quote, the department-wide information systems continue to be vulnerable to security threats, end quote. The Inspector General made 16 findings, six of which are repeat findings. The Inspector General made a total of 26 recommendations, 10 of which are repeat recommendations.
The cyber sprint Chaffetz refers to is a 30-day assessment of federal IT, which was required after the OPM breach. During the hearing, Chaffetz asked the Education Chief Information Officer what the department needed to help bolster its cybersecurity. The CIO responded saying the department did not need money, but rather needed better people to ensure the safety of databases. He said the main issue is a management issue. Some of education's IT woes were exposed when Education Inspector General employees played the role of hackers and made their way into the department's main enterprise IT systems. The faux hackers gained access to the network without anyone noticing and found their way into other education systems. The main system, called Educate, handles core business functions like email, printers, telephone systems, and data routing for the entire department. The IG says its hackers were able to use Educate as a toehold to launch attacks onto other department systems.
FSA developed implementation plans to increase the issuance of personal identity verification, or PIV cards, to meet requirements of strong authentication. The OCIO completed its implementation this September, and FSA's completion is scheduled for this December. OIG's objective for the 2015 FISMA audit changed from a compliance-based auditing approach to a focus on general effectiveness of the department's IT security program and practices. OIG found that while the department has made progress in strengthening its information security program, with 5 of the 10 reporting metrics noted as generally effective. Weaknesses were still noted in 4 of the 5 reporting metrics. Specifically, the IG determined it was not generally effective in the areas of continuous monitoring, configuration reporting, and remote access. In response, we are actively engaged in implementing solutions to address these areas. For example, to meet the requirements of OMB for implementing continuous monitoring by FY 2007, the department has developed an information security continuous monitoring implementation plan.
Chaffetz has asked the Government Accountability Office to look into the safety of the data centers the Department of Education is using. In a statement to Federal News Radio, the Department of Education said it takes very seriously its obligation to ensure that information entrusted to them by the public is safe and secure. It also says it knows it has more work to do on cybersecurity and remains committed to that process. While Chaffetz is concerned about cyber breaches, his committee is investigating other areas of the government too. Chaffetz said he's working on legislation that will allow the Secret Service to draw on other agencies for resources, training, and staff when needed. The legislation stemmed from the committee's finding that the average Secret Service member spends 25 minutes a year in training. That's compared to major metropolitan police departments, which spend about 10% of their time training their members. Chaffetz said he's also worried about how the Secret Service trains, especially after someone broke into the White House.
When we got into the how do you protect the White House, remember you had that guy in Crocs jump the fence, get on. He wasn't exactly Carl Lewis, but he goes running across and gets into the White House. Well, the Secret Service can't lie to the American people. They did. They said, oh, you know, we stopped him at the door. No, he didn't. He blew right past that person, got in, turned left, turned right, and finally got tackled out there, I believe, by the East Room. They weren't candid about it. That's demoralizing to a lot of people. Then we found out that there were officers who had never, ever been in the White House. Like, you work for the Secret Service and you've never been inside those doors? I can get a pass and go in on a tour. And you guys haven't done that? Nope, haven't done it. You had people out there that didn't have radios that day. So when the person jumps the fence and they say, well, what did you hear on your earpiece? When they said, well, the earpieces, we didn't have enough. They weren't working. Really? Well, how do you train on the White House? I mean, when the president goes out of town, do you do like training? And they said, no, they go out to some ball field and spray paint on the grass what the White House kind of looks like. And they, I could see the audience is like smiling, laughing. That's what we've been doing. But like, how come they haven't come to Congress and say, I have to have a mock White House. I have to have one of these things.
Chaffetz also called on the Secretary of Homeland Security to improve the morale of his employees. DHS ranked 2nd to last in employee morale in the most recent government survey. In case you're wondering who's number one, it's NASA. From Washington, Scott Massioni, federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.
Share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click share with friends.